This is News Director Larissa Donovan continuing on with the Meet the Candidates series. Joining me in studio today, he's a current representative in the Minnesota House. It's Matt Grasso. Welcome to the show. With the redistricting, I forget off the top of my head where everybody moved to, but you're still in District 2, just with a different letter, right?
No.
Oh, same letter?
I'll start off. Just good morning, and thank you for having me here.
Well, absolutely.
We're still in District 2A.
Okay.
So, and you're right. The redistricting lines, wow, those are wild. Those are wild. I lost a lot of geographical area, but, picked up the city of Bemidji. So, it's been interesting. And all the door knocking I've been doing over in this area, the majority of the contacts I'm making have all been positive. So, I am cautiously optimistic, and I'll keep knocking doors and keep meeting all the new folks in my district.
So you've been in the Minnesota House since 2016. For those who may not know you, some of your possibly new constituents, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background.
Well, I've worked over in the Bemidji area and Beltrami County area in a law enforcement capacity. I'm a retired deputy sheriff from Clearwater County. And I worked on the Headwaters Gangs, Guns, Violent Crimes, and Narcotics Task Force and the Paul Bunyan Task Force for probably 6 years. And so I worked a lot of the areas. I started out my law enforcement as the chief of police in Black Duck. So I'm familiar with the area, familiar with all the folks that are working in the law enforcement jobs around here, Bemidji PD, Beltrami County. So I've still got a lot of good friends and former colleagues that are still out there trying to take care of their neighbors and trying to protect people.
So I'm sure your campaign is in full force at the moment. What are some of the issues that people have been talking to you about, problems that they see in the state of Minnesota?
Some of the big things are, of course, the inflation, the prices at the counter as far as groceries, the gas pump, all of it. And you get people talking about a variety of things also. They're talking about public safety. That is a big issue. And as you know, or if you've been following it, violent crime is just skyrocketed in the past few years. And it's something that needs to be addressed and hasn't been yet. And being on the public safety committee and the judicial committees in the House, but being in the minority, you don't get listened to very often. And so that is one of the big things that I'm going to be hammering on and working on, should people reelect me, is going to be the public safety. And then also trying to make sure that people can afford to go to the grocery store again, get these inflation under control, get these prices come down, and help people to keep a little more of their paycheck to take home and take care of their families with.
So inflation is a big issue across our country right now. Fed keeps raising the interest rates. I'm not really sure how that will help. I'm no economist. But what are some of the ideas you have to address some of these inflationary issues?
Well, you look at how the inflation going, and I'm not a big numbers person, so that's not that I'm not the one to talk to about that a whole lot. But from what I understand, when I was asking about it the other day, is that the inflation keeps going up. That means it's going to keep taking more money from people, taxes getting raised, all of that stuff. So, we've got to get things under control. I don't know off the top of my head just how to do that, but I trust the people in my caucus that do know how to do those things. And one of the big things we got to do is we got to stop buying from everybody else. We got to start producing again. We've got to start producing our own energy, start getting our own oil, become energy independent again. We can't be sitting there depending on everybody else when we've got all the resources that we need here in our own country, in our own state for that matter. We should be mining. We should be making sure that we use these resources that we've been blessed with in this state. So we've got to get those mines going, get people working. Good gosh, we are one of the highest taxed states for personal income. We are one of the highest taxed states when it comes to businesses. And we've got to change that. We've got to change that stuff. Get people back to work. We got to streamline the process of getting these companies working as far as the mines, getting these pipelines going. I mean, how long did it take to get Line 3 moving? And that was billions of dollars of private investment into the state. That took way too long to get that going. And those are jobs for our neighbors, our friends and neighbors, you know, that will help them to stay close to home and work for a time. It's to me, we've got to get people, we've got to get this country moving again and the state moving again.
Mining, that's an interesting point. Minnesota has traditionally been a strong mining state, especially out northeast, but a new element that is being sought at the moment, you know, to support the production of lithium ion batteries, which are, you know, if for shifting away from fossil fuels into electric vehicles, you need those batteries to get them working. What are your ideas about the nickel mining in Minnesota?
You know, the resources, like I said, the resources are here. We do the mining by far better, cleaner, safer than anybody else on the planet. Why we're not doing it ourselves and harvesting it here, why we're getting these resources from other countries that use slave labor, actually, to get to do the mining.
And, you know, their environmental regulations might be drastically lax.
Their environmental regulations are horrible. So why we're encouraging and getting these resources from other places that don't do it the right way, that don't care about their workers, I can't even call them employees because they're forced into this. So, and a lot of them, there's a lot of them that are children that are being forced to do this mining, you know, and it's, good Lord. I can't say what I was just going to say, but I was going to say, let's pull our heads out of someplace and get people working in this state, be good stewards of our resources that we've been blessed with in this state, and do it the right way.
Other issues you've been hearing on the campaign trail, I know that a passionate cause of yours has been increasing penalties for producers and distributors of child pornography.
Yes. You know, people talk about the sex trafficking, people talk about human trafficking, the narcotics trade, all of that. And all part of that is also the industry of child pornography. All of these things overlap. And it's all one great big ugly wheel that if you don't hit it from all sides and hit it hard, it just keeps turning. It just keeps turning. It feeds off of all those other heads, all those other areas. And so that has been something that I've been working on for the past 6 years, to try to work with colleagues on both sides of the aisle, and to make sure that we protect our children. We have to do that. If we don't protect our children, these predators are out there. And it's nobody is safe from this stuff. There's not a demographic, there's not a income level, there's nobody that is immune to this stuff affecting them. Because it can happen to anybody. And these children's voices are not being heard. Their cries are not being heard. And that is something that, yes, I'm very passionate about, and I'm going to keep fighting to protect these kids. I don't care what anybody says. These predators need to be stopped. There needs to be more accountability, because right now, Minnesota is, crying out loud, we are among the worst for holding these predators accountable, and we've got to change that.
So with the Minnesota legislature's process, as far as I understand, they pack all this stuff in these giant mega omnibus bills. And with so much time, like a limited window of time to get things moving, deadlines need to be met, et cetera. What are your thoughts about if the GOP were to retake the House, about doing away with those mega omnibus packages?
You know, that has been something that I've been making noise about since I got elected, because it's horrible. And both sides are guilty of using these omnibus bills. They got in the habit of doing it, and it's frankly, I think it's a lazy way to do things. We don't have to continuously make laws. if we stood up all of our laws in a pile, and they're it's dang near 4 feet high. We don't need those. We don't need that many. We can tweak the ones that we have, enforce the ones that we have, use the ones that we have. We don't have to continuously make laws. Take a few that are important to people, get them passed through committee, get these debates on the House floor, get them passed on to the Senate and to the governor. Quit messing around. We can work out the numbers as we go. I mean, we've got plenty of people, smart people, that are in the finance part of it, and they know what they're doing. We can pass these laws, ones that are needed, one at a time, have the debates in committee, have the debates on the House floor, and move them. Because there's a lot of good work that could be done, and they wouldn't be tied up in a great big barrel of pork omnibus bills. Because, oh, gosh, I'll tell you what, I hate omnibus bills. If they're filled with things that are going to help the citizens of the state, then all right, you know, there are some things that we can group together. Infrastructure, roads, bridges, taking care of people, helping our elderly. I mean, it's not rocket science, folks. Let's just quit playing the silly games. Let's do our job as legislators and serve the people that sent us there.
Another issue locally that really affects us that could be affected by action from the Minnesota legislature is public education, our transportation formula that's currently applied. It may the Bemidji School District in particular loses a good chunk of money on that transport. They have to tap into the general fund to finance transportation. Our district's the size of Rhode Island. Well, there are some schools in the metro that have a small geographical area, but bigger enrollment, so they actually make extra money that they get to use in their general fund. What are your ideas about how to address this situation?
You know, Representative Bliss, when he was in 5A, and now he's running for 2B, he got some legislation passed that helped bring some extra money in to the Bemidji School District for the transportation. That formula has got to be looked at and redone. And we keep talking about it, but it never gets across the finish line. Rural Minnesota is always getting the short end of the stick. And that has got to change. And if the GOP gets control of the House, I think you're going to see some of those changes being made. And to get it balanced, tweak that formula to make sure that you're not having, that the rural schools are not having to dip into their general fund. I mean, it's ridiculous. It shouldn't be like that, but it's been like that for decades. And the differences between the rural schools and the metro schools, I mean, come on, folks. Let's not be silly. Look at how much we're being shorted out here. Let's balance this out, because if it's public education, you know it's different out here as far as the needs for transporting kids to and from school and other activities. Let's make that adjustment without saying, well, I want the same thing. If you don't need it, don't take it.
You know, when I think of, you know, legislative sessions and stuff, the words that come to mind are gridlock, bickering. What are some of the ideas you have to maybe like bridge some of those gaps between the two parties and learn to work together to make some real changes that'll for the benefit of all Minnesotans?
You know, the first thing people have to remember, first thing legislators have to remember, is that you're there to serve. You're not there to put a feather in your cap. You're not there for somebody to give you a pat on the back and say, atta boy, or atta girl, whatever. Get your mindset right. Get your heart set right to go there and serve the people that elected you. And it's not about, I go there because I want to represent the voice of the citizens in 2A, in District 2A. I don't go there to say, look at me, look at Matt Grossel. I'm all that and a bag of potato chips, baloney. The folks here sent me there to be their voice. And by God, I'm going to do that. So people have to leave their egos at the door. leave everything personal at the door. Look at what needs to be done. Get those things taken care of first. Then if there's some special things that you want to work on that are that probably might be a little bit controversial, then work on those later. We all have those things. But first we got to take care of what needs to be done. And those, you know, and across the state pretty much, most of those things are the same. So there's a lot we can agree on if we just check ourselves, leave our egos at the door, and be there to serve.
Well, those are some pretty poignant remarks there. Is there anything else about your campaign or the issues as you see them you wanted to be sure to get out there before I let you go today?
You know, more and more, and we've seen this, we've all experienced it, we've all been subjected to it, more and more our constitutional freedoms, our rights that are God-given, not government-given, but God-given, they're being infringed upon. And the envelope is being pushed more and more to see just what we will fold, just what we will give up. People have got to stand up, and people have got to make their voices heard that the government is there to serve us, not to rule over us, not to dictate what we are to be doing in our homes, with our families, in our communities, in our churches, whatever, or in our schools. The parents have the right to be concerned about what is being taught in their schools and to get rid of some things that they believe are harmful to their kids. You have a right, business owners have a right to go and open their doors and thrive, to pursue that life as far as providing a service to the communities that they're in. And these small businesses are what help keep our communities in rural Minnesota thriving. They have a right to open that door and do business without government sitting there looking over their shoulder or putting pressure on them or burdensome regulations that are not needed. Minnesotans know how to do it right. Minnesotans know how to work. Minnesotans know how to take care of their neighbors and to take care of themselves. The government is supposed to be there in time of need to help. One of government's big responsibilities is public safety. That's one of the things that we're supposed to do as a government. And I'm sorry, but we have been failing at that miserably. And that is something that's got to change. People should be able to go to these communities, these bigger cities that were once thriving and beautiful. But everything I'm hearing from people there is that, no, it's not like that anymore. They don't feel safe in their own communities. We're failing there. And that's got to change, because as it keeps creeping out into the suburbs, into rural Minnesota, the people aren't going to be happy with the result if it keeps trying to creep further out. But we've got to take responsibility, keep our communities safe, keep our citizens safe, because like Thomas Sowell said, if you are not, and this is a man of very, very high regard, very high academic, he said, if you're not willing to protect civilization by use of force, then be prepared to accept barbarism. And if you look at what's going on around us, by not stopping evil in its tracks, or lawlessness in its tracks, it emboldens more and more, and it'll get worse and worse. And that's what we're seeing right now in a lot of states around the country.
All right. So with that, I think we have what we need here. Thanks so much for coming in to join me today. And I'm sure we'll visit again sometime soon.
Yes. Thank you very much for having me.